You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Power Hour coming up next hour here on You Better You Bet, the final hour of the show. All our bets for tonight, Game 5, Lightning and Islanders, the entire Major League Baseball card, all our bets for Euro Cup tomorrow, including the angle that I've got. What an angle it is. England and Czech Republic tomorrow. Can't wait to talk about that with my guy Ken Barkley in the Power Hour. What an angle. Out of all the angles out there, this is the right one. Coming up next hour, You Better You Bet. In about 20 minutes, we're going to play a game of free roll. Once you fly high, free roll. NBA Finals MVP, NFL MVP. Eli's got some Major League Baseball. I've got some Euro futures we're going to talk about. So anywhere on the board we want to go, 100 theoretical dollars, or perhaps they're real. And maybe we'll actually bet them. That's coming up in about 20 minutes on You Better You Bet. But right now, let's get back to the NBA. And really excited to do that with one of the most respected NBA voices out there. That is Chris Herring, senior NBA writer for Sports Illustrated, does an outstanding job and has for many years covering the association. Chris, welcome to You Better You Bet here on BetQL on a Monday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley. How you doing at this point in the NBA postseason? Only four teams remaining.
Yeah, no, I'm doing good, gentlemen. How are you guys?
We're doing good, Chris. I think we have to start with, you know, before we can kind of look ahead to what should be a really interesting conference finals, we do need to kind of do the postmortem on Philly here. Again, I think with you, obviously, as someone who's really connected with the league and who has strong opinions about this stuff, everyone wants to kill Ben Simmons today. Everyone wants to kill Doc Rivers today. Everyone wants to have, you know, the hottest takes possible about Philadelphia. I guess what you can kind of help us answer here is what are realistic expectations for how much different Philadelphia can look next year and how much different do you expect them to look?
Well, I mean, I think it goes without saying it would be surprising if Ben Simmons is back next year. You know, I think there were some people that were of the school of thought that even prior to this season that one of those guys would be moved, meaning him or Embiid. And quite frankly, I don't think there had been the body of work from Ben Simmons as a franchise guy by himself to really, you know, to really drive that conversation. Embiid has obviously had the health concerns over the years. But, you know, you came in with Doc Rivers as a first-year guy with them, and you obviously had Daryl Morey. And, you know, I think that there probably was some appetite to just kind of see how it went with the new regime. You've got your answer now, which is, you know, obviously a disappointing postseason from Ben Simmons, certainly from an offensive standpoint, even as he did very well defensively. And Embiid looked like an MVP, quite frankly, whenever he was out there. So I think it's very clear. The guy was probably clear before this season. And I don't imagine that you're going to get off Doc Rivers' contract. I mean, quite frankly, if you're blaming Ben Simmons for the majority of what you saw, which maybe is a little bit harsh, but if you feel like Ben Simmons is a big part of the problem, then you're not likely going to move Doc Rivers or get rid of Doc Rivers, which I wouldn't do that anyway. So, I mean, it all kind of comes back to Ben, which, again, feels a little bit unfair. There are other problems with that team. But I think the biggest problem, and we're seeing a little bit of this with the Mavericks too, is that you can't really have max money committed to a second player who's not going to be a consistent scorer for you. And that's a scary thought, given that Ben Simmons does so many other things and does so many other things well. But as someone who really can't shoot, and it's not just that he can't shoot, it's that he won't shoot. He might be the most versatile defensive player in the league, but the fact that he won't shoot, even in dunk opportunities, is more than a bit concerning. And I think that's kind of the realization I think a lot of people came to yesterday, front and center.
Personally, for me, I would love if the Mavericks kept Kristaps Porzingis so we can bet all his point unders because Luka never passes him the ball. So I kind of hope that, and as a Knicks fan, kind of selfishly hope he stays in mired in mediocrity in Dallas forever. Chris, you said that you think that it's likely, and I don't want to put words in your mouth here because who the hell knows what could happen, right? That Ben Simmons could be on his way out of Philadelphia this offseason. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, and with the caveat, right, that this is in pencil, not pen, the answer to this question. Very early in the process, they may end up keeping him. So, like, who knows? But if you had to give it your best guess here, right, with your ear on the ground, talking to people, you know, as ingrained kind of in the league as you are here, what's like an option or two for Philadelphia here, a team that we might see Ben Simmons end up on next season if he's not going to remain in Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, I think it's a team that is struggling to get to that next level that doesn't have as much of a problem scoring, because obviously if you're a team that struggles to score now, you're going to be hard-pressed to try to add someone else that can't score and doesn't shoot well to that mix. And I should say, he can score. I mean, obviously the playoffs were a different question, but, I mean, you need to be a team that kind of plays an up-tempo style that is pretty free with the ball and doesn't really rely on, you know, isn't going to be asking a whole lot of him offensively from a scoring standpoint. So to me, the teams that come to mind immediately that could really use a defender and don't need as much scoring, a team like Washington, if you've got obviously Bradley Beal, who basically led the league in scoring, I guess Steph edged him by a little bit, and Russell Westbrook, but a team that really didn't defend very much this year. You think of a team like Portland, who for years has been a team that scores very easily, has Damian Lillard, has CJ McCollum, and another team that, you know, similar to Philadelphia, is kind of, you know, probably hit a high watermark to some degree. But doesn't defend and, you know, has already started making some changes with Terry Stotts. So, I mean, that's another team that to me would make a lot of sense. But again, the question at that point is then, you know, is it something that fundamentally helps those teams enough? It's something that would shake up the way those teams are constructed, but at the money that you would be paying him, does it make sense? And I think that's the challenge, is that, you know, I think the money is kind of the driving concern. He's only 24, so it's not to say that you give up on a guy completely. Maybe Philly decides that they need to move on. And quite frankly, the quotes from Embiid and Doc Rivers yesterday really seem to suggest that. I can't remember the last time I saw quotes that strong out of a press conference for someone who was this young and this you know, talented as far as what he's accomplished individually already. But it really does kind of feel like they're just at wit's end and maybe the situation is too toxic there for it to really work for him, but somewhere else might still work given how young he is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Chris, let's kind of turn our attention to Atlanta, obviously, who moves on to face Milwaukee. And this inevitably happens, right? A team like Philly loses. We're less likely to spend all the time focusing on Atlanta, the team that actually won, the team that moves on to the conference finals, because the storylines involving Philly are so interesting. But from a betting standpoint, this Eastern Conference Finals is very interesting. Milwaukee in the betting markets is a extremely large favorite to win the series. Like from a probability standpoint, like 80%, more than 80% to win the series. That's what the betting market would tell you about Milwaukee, who has home court advantage against Atlanta in the Eastern Conference Finals. So the betting market says Milwaukee should win a lot of the time. This should be fairly easy for them. Do you expect that same thing? What's kind of your breakdown of how you think this is going to go?
Honestly, if you had told me that Embiid was going to play the way he played against Atlanta, I would have thought you were crazy to say that Atlanta takes that series anyway. And again, Simmons is a big, you know, factor in that. So are some of the coaching rotation decisions. But at this point, I'm not ready to count, you know, whether 80% is really counting a team out or not. I'm not ready to be as, bullish on Milwaukee as what you guys are saying with the probabilities there and the perceived betting odds. Atlanta matches up pretty well against a lot of teams. I think that they've got to figure out where Bogdanovich is health-wise. He had not looked very good at the end of that series and, you know, was playing through whatever it was with his knee. If he's not, you know, at a point where he can really score at a high level, it puts a lot of extra pressure on Trae Young and Kevin Huerter and Gallinari. But, you know, I think what we saw in the last series was that Trae Young obviously can get downhill pretty easily and have spurts where he just scores and does really well. And Atlanta does pretty well defensively where they can just kind of lock down, particularly at the end of games. They obviously turned the games around in the second half when Embiid was winded. We saw a little bit of that with Milwaukee where Giannis would get winded and stretches where, quite frankly, Drew Holiday looked like he was kind of locked up. And Middleton was too. And so, I'm a little bit confused as to why people are so, so bullish on Milwaukee. I think that they obviously are the better team and a little bit more well-rounded. They've been here before. But we just saw them on the ropes against, you know, granted, a much more talented Brooklyn team. But, you know, at this point, I don't expect Atlanta to win this series. But crazier things have happened, and you could make the argument that crazier things just happened in the series before. So it's really not outside the realm of possibility to me. I think something like 65-35, 60-40 would make more sense to me than 80-20 at this point.
You better bet. BetQL, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley talking NBA with Chris Herring, Sports Illustrated on Twitter at Herring_NBA. Game one, Milwaukee, a 7.5-point favorite, Chris. Total 226.5. My co-host Ken Barkley said earlier in the show, he thinks this could be a high-scoring game one. Maybe we're going to look at overs in the series. Atlanta's probably not going to want to slow it down. That's probably maybe how they could stay in this series, is to play up-tempo and struggle to see how Atlanta's going to be able without DeAndre Hunter to kind of stop Giannis from kind of doing what he wants. So curious, kind of like your on-court handicap, maybe not who's going to win the series, but maybe like how you see these games playing out. And are we going to see high-scoring affairs here in the series, maybe game one and otherwise, between Milwaukee and Atlanta?
I think even that could go either way. I'm not completely, completely convinced that Atlanta just wants to play up-tempo. I think they actually can win grinded-out games, too. I think that they're perceived a certain way as far as having the ability to do that. They won a couple of games in that Philly series that were basically in the 100s, the low 100s. I think there was even a game where it was a little bit lower than that, that they either won or lost. But, it's interesting because I think Atlanta kind of is painted to be this team that doesn't defend very well, and they have one of the best rim protectors in the league. DeAndre Hunter certainly is their best wing defender, but throughout the Knicks series that we watched them play, Kevin Huerter kind of held his own with Derrick Rose and different guys. DeAndre Hunter was a factor in that series, but they defend pretty well. They hide Trae Young pretty well. A question of how they do that against Giannis and everybody else. Middleton, obviously, is a much bigger question than what they've had throughout the series. Even with Philly, they didn't quite have a wing threat, you know, that was a one-on-one sort of threat like that against Philly. Tobias Harris, to whatever extent you would consider that. And obviously Seth Curry. But, you know, I actually think that I don't know that what they're going to face is any more of a threat than what they had with Embiid, who they had no answer for last year. So, you know, if you're kind of penciling in the idea that Giannis is going to go for 35. That's great, but Embiid basically just did that, and it wasn't nearly enough to win the series, obviously. So I don't think that their inability to stop one guy is going to count them out. You know, I think Trae Young is going to get his. He's going to spread the ball around to other guys that can hit shots. I really think it's more a question of whether Bogdanovich can kind of give them enough secondary scoring to keep up with what Milwaukee will do, but it might actually be Atlanta's advantage to try to slow the game down a little bit as opposed to playing up-tempo with Giannis, who wants to, you know, score in the paint and transition all game long. So I could see Atlanta trying to slow the game down a little bit, actually.
Chris, about 2 minutes left, and want to make sure we hit the Western Conference with you as well. Phoenix won game one against the Clippers. No Chris Paul in that game, obviously, and no Kawhi Leonard, of course, for the Clippers, probably for the series, but we'll see. You know, in just 2 minutes here, the Suns are a large favorite to win the series. They're about a 5-point favorite in game two. What are your expectations for the rest of that series?
Man, I'm just excited to watch it more than anything. It's weird to really not have much of an opinion on it. It's actually a lot of what made me really, really excited to see Phoenix in this environment. I thought Phoenix, I think Phoenix might have kind of wiped the floor with Utah had they played them. And part of the reason that I kept coming back to is if they're fully healthy and you've got Paul and you've got Booker who want to take that mid-range jumper, and I've been saying this for weeks, Gobert and Utah are designed to give up that shot. They don't want you to get anything at the rim. They want to take away the three. So it becomes a question of can you knock down mid-range shot? Phoenix is basically the only team that's like actively hunting that shot and looking for that shot. And I think that's kind of what you saw in game one. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not the Clippers defend it differently, what they do to defend it differently, if they can stop Booker, whether Booker is a little bit more off. But, I mean, I thought it would be the question of the Phoenix-Utah series, but it now looks like it could be potentially the defining question in the Phoenix Clippers series. And that's obviously what I'm going to be looking at. It's kind of how that shot breaks down from game to game.
Chris, final question for you here. I know you said, and it's a tough series to call obviously here, but if you had to place a bet on game number two with the Suns and the Clippers, Suns a 6-point favorite, total 224, Clippers about plus 190 on the money line. In about 30 seconds, if you had to place a bet on game number two, what would it be and why?
You know, I'd be lying if I said I really had a strong opinion on this. I guess Phoenix. I mean, but really, the game could have gone either way. I don't expect Booker to be that hot in the next game, but their crowd seems to make a huge difference and kind of lifted them a little bit there toward the end. Booker lifted them just as much. But I really like Phoenix in the series. I would have loved them against Utah as well. So I would just go Phoenix just because they'll be at home and because I think they looked the part. They've looked the part the whole time. And so they've been more consistent to me than LA has.
Chris, fantastic job. Love having you on You Better You Bet. Enjoy the postseason here, and we look forward to having you on the show again soon.
Sounds great, guys. Take care.
That's Chris Herring, senior NBA writer for Sports Illustrated on Twitter at Herring_NBA. That was interesting what he said there about Atlanta and Milwaukee and the potential pace of that series, Ken. He thinks Atlanta might slow it down a little bit and try and muck it up.
Well, it's funny because he's like, you know, Atlanta has a MO of they don't defend very well. They have not very good wing defenders is like their problem. And they haven't really faced a team that can take advantage of that. Definitely wasn't Philly.
All right. Power Hour coming up next hour on You Better You Bet. But coming up next, we're going to be free. Free rolling. Our free rolls, futures across the board. Next, to close out hour number three.
You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.